fucking sucked! I hate him!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. Here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show that hell and a guy named Harlan hates. I guarantee you. I was sent by a young lady that follows our ministry, probably the most blasphemous heretic YouTube channel. He's got a website. I've never heard such blatant blasphemy coming out of somebody's face as I've heard today. And it absolutely fits right in with what we were talking about on Tuesday. And we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the Bible. The Bible is the key issue in this world today. And if you don't believe that, I'm sorry, but the devil's number one tool to destroy, to deceive, to kill, to steal is casting doubt or destroying the Word of God. That is his number. I did a talk or a sermon or a watchman or whatever. I was down in Harrison, Arkansas with the good people at Oak Lane Free Will Baptist Church, and God laid it on my heart. I called it the devil's biggest enemy or Satan's biggest enemy, one of those two. And it is. He absolutely hates the Word of God. He hates it when it's written down. He really hates it. Because all you have to do, if you get lied to, let's say a flat earther or what do they call them? Where they think we're in an alternate timeline. I just drew a blank. Anyway, whenever those people say, hey, did you know that we're in a different timeline and they've changed the Berenstain Bears and the words in the Bible are different because the lion used to lay down with a lamb and it doesn't do that anymore. And God puts new wine in the Bible used to say wineskins and now it says bottles and there was no bottles back then. When people do that to you, you can open up a can of fresh King James. Where's my can of King James? Ah, here it is. Got it. Got a can right here. Can of King James. Fresh. Always fresh. Always alive. I don't worship King James. I just believe the Bible. Amen? Now, but this guy is so off the rails. And I'll share that with you in a little bit. Something interesting that I culled from the world of the internet. Apparently, not the charismatics and some others are not the only ones who are making claims about Monday's eclipse, that it being a herald of some great supernatural thing that God is going to do. This came up in my feed this morning, and now the Catholics are claiming it. They actually changed. You know, in the Catholic Church, all the saints have a feast day given to them. Like St. Patrick's Day is a Catholic feast day to St. Patrick. St. Valentine's Day is a Catholic feast day for St. Valentine. And you have, you know, St. Peter's Day and St. Bartholomew's Day and St. Matthew's Day. And now it's St. Mary's feast. And they moved it. They moved the date of the feast. I listened to one, a monk, give his explanation for it. I'm not going to play this video. I haven't even listened to this one. I listened to the first one. But anyway, they moved it to April the 8th, the same day of the eclipse. And I'm like, I can't handle this. This monk was describing that the sun is Christ and the moon is Mary, and the moon going and covering up the sun is a picture of Jesus going into the womb of Mary. And I'm like, okay, you just admitted that idea and your worship of Mary plunged the world into darkness. That's what you just said. And then, you know, of course, then he's born, you know, when the sun comes out from the moon. And I'm like, ah, how many eclipses have happened since Jesus walked this earth? Hundreds? Hundreds? Has to be. And you can forecast backwards because the motions of the sun and the moon are constant. And people who know how to do this can calculate past eclipses. That's how they can calculate this eclipse. Because God, when he created the heaven, he put everything in order. And I guarantee you, as sure as I'm sitting here right now, there's going to be an eclipse Monday. And it's because God set the ordinances of the heaven, the Bible says. He set all of that in motion. And it's more accurate than a clock is. And that's how they can predict this stuff. They can forecast eclipses for the next 1,000 years if they want to. And I'm just saying, it's an eclipse. And they're making a big deal about how it's the, you know, it's 7 years after the last eclipse, and it's going to go, and the last eclipse, it went through seven cities called Salem, and now it's going to go through seven cities called Nineveh, which is not quite true. And they're going to cross each other's path in a little town that used to be called Rapture, Kentucky. Let me do this. Let me look this up here. Rapture, Kentucky. Does not, oh, let's see, the page Rapture does not exist. Doesn't exist. Anyway, there was this little bitty village called Rapture, Kentucky. And the last I read from it, and I may be wrong, was that they don't even call it that anymore. They haven't called it that for years. It's not really incorporated as a town. They don't have a post office. And the population of that little hamlet is like two people. I'm not kidding. So they're making a lot of soap out of nothing is what they're doing. I still got the dollar here that I said that I would send to that preacher that I saw, if he's right. If he's right, and we're raptured, I'm gonna leave this. I'm gonna leave this dollar for him. Okay, enough of that. I'm gonna show you. I went to this guy's YouTube. Now I am not going to tell you this guy's name. It took a little while to find it. he didn't leave, he doesn't put his name that I could see on his YouTube channel. He's got a website that coincides with his YouTube channel. And when I looked up who the owner of the website was, the only thing that I could find out, they had his information redacted. In other words, when you purchase a website, there is a catalog online called Who Is. And you can go and find out who owns a website, how long they've had it, and so on and so on. And everything about the owner of their website was redacted, with the exception of the state that they lived in. And it was, I guessed, Arkansas by their accent, Northwest Arkansas. But I was wrong. Apparently they are from Tennessee, which it's still the South. So anyway, that's the only thing I could find out about him and his wife, whom he calls Punkin. That and the fact that he's dead now. He died in 2021, and it's possible, based on something I saw, that maybe his wife died too shortly after that. But I don't know that for sure. But apparently one of his followers, a younger guy, is who is maintaining his YouTube channel, because the video that I saw was just 4 days old, and he had posted several since then. One of them, I think, today. And probably what he's doing, he's going back through all the videos that this guy's made and is reposting them to keep them fresh in everybody's mind. But the name of this guy's belief is... the Bible is an idol, and the Bible is the mark of the beast. When I was sent this, I thought, I got to look at this. And I watched this video, and I'm just like, I'm shaking my head. I'm yelling at the computer. And so I'm not going to play an entire video of this guy. What I did was I took chunks out of this particular video that was on his YouTube channel. This was one that was posted about 4 days ago. And I took out some of the blasphemy that this guy is vomiting out on everybody, spewing out on everybody. His belief is that God told him, Jesus Christ told him in no uncertain terms that the Bible is an evil instrument of Satan, and that God will speak to those who are truly sons of God, and they must get, and he's one of these people that combines the word holy and ghost into one word with one syllable, Holy Ghost. Okay? You got to have the Holy Ghost on you. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so anyway, that doesn't make him a heretic. But everything else he says does. He denies the four Gospels as having anything to do with our salvation. He denies. He tells you, close the book. Close your Bible. God's not in it. You're not going to get anything from God. And what's funny to me is this hypocritical stance, because as proof that the Bible is heresy, that it's not the Word of God, that it's a tool of Satan, and it's the mark of the beast, is that he used Scripture to do it. I'm not kidding you. So I'm going to switch on over here, and you're going to get the black screen here for a minute, and I'm going to play this video. I will probably interrupt it from time to time to comment. But here he is. The Bible is the mark of the beast.
See, Philip was trying to know Jesus after the flesh. If you see my flesh, you can't see. But when I tell you the Bible is an idol, where did I get that from?
The Spirit spoke it to
you. Where did I get the Bible is the mark of the beast?
Jesus spoke it to you.
Where did I get spoken? When Jesus speaks a word, it's life. When Constantine, mm-hmm. King James gets it, writes it down on a piece of paper, then it becomes the word of the devil.
Right.
Where did I get all these things?
The
where did
Spirit,
I get
yeah.
that Timothy lived under two covenants? Where did I get when the New Testament began? See, people can't answer these questions. Where did I get all these revelations?
So, he's using as proof, the video's not over yet, it's just a pause there. He's using as proof the fact that he's saying, how did I get all these revelations? I'm saying, you didn't. Well, I'll say it this way. You did, but you didn't get them from the Holy Ghost. You got a doctrine of devils. You fell in for seducing spirits, is what you did. You heard something. I have no doubt that this guy heard something. But the Bible, here we go. The Bible says that you're to test that, even if God said it. How many times did God call Samuel? 4 times, which is interesting to me. The first 3 times, Samuel went running to Eli. Eli, did you call me? No. Eli, did you call me this time? No. Eli, did you call me this time? No. But when you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Eli knew then it was from God. Then God spoke with Samuel. But anyway, this guy is claiming that Jesus has given him these personal, private revelations, and he admits on here, you're going to see it, he admits on here that he knows he's the only one who has this revelation. The only one. So, the fact that according to him, that the Bible is an idol and that the Bible is the mark of the beast and it's a tool of the devil is the fact that Jesus himself gave him that revelation. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't cut it with me. As I said earlier, test the spirits. See whether they be of God or not. And it's something to keep in mind. If you're going to test what a spirit placed into your mind, and there's no doubt that devils, maybe certain devils, maybe not all of them, but certain devils have the ability, they have access to our mind. There's no doubt about that. I think the Bible makes that clear. Job's friend had a dream, and he saw a spirit in there. He couldn't discern the form of it. But this was placed into his dream state by a spirit of some kind. And how is it that we are tempted? Right here in our minds. Okay, we have things flashing through our minds that we're like, where in the world is that coming from? Well, it's the devil. So God says, you know, if you think that, you know, this is wrong, check it out. Well, how can we check it out? By asking the same spirit? No. It's like an appeal. If you get a judgment against you and you go to appeal it, you don't appeal it from the same judge you got a judgment from. You go to a higher judge, a higher court of appeals, so that your case could be heard, and usually like 3 judges will decide whether or not your case is valid or not. You go to the source. You go to the Bible is the only verifiable tool that we have that can be common for all men to know, to read, to research, and so on. It's the only thing that we have. If I said, God told me this, folks, back in the early days, 1997, 1998, 99, when God really opened up my heart to his word, if I would think things and I thought they were from God, I knew even back then not to accept it from God unless I can see it in the scripture. I would ask God, show it to me in the Bible. He either would, and I would have it verified, in no one's verified enough so that if I shared it with somebody, they would go, well, yeah, that's right. Or if I got no scripture verification whatsoever, keep my mouth shut. Maybe make a note of it. Maybe one of these days, I don't know. But if I don't have verified, Don't say anything. And that's what happened when God put it in my heart to study the numbers of the Bible. I just went, time out, God, because I'm thinking that's like occult numerology. And so I went to the scriptures to see, and the scriptures verified it. So anyway, now let me keep playing here. It gets worse, and he says something about Timothy was under two covenants. Impossible. Legally, that's impossible. You cannot, if you work for a company, maybe you're in a labor union or something like that, and your union has a contract with the company, when they have a new contract come out, what happens to the old contract? Are you still under that one? Can you make $30 an hour and $25 an hour simultaneously? No. So you cannot, it is impossible to be under two covenants. But this guy said it, and he said Jesus gave him that revelation. He's making Jesus, he's blaming Jesus for his ignorance and stupidity.
You got to see Christ in me. This is the only voice I know of on earth today. Now, we got a few little children, and you'll hear them telling about the Holy Ghost on earth today. Now, you got to see Christ in me. This is the only voice I know of on earth today. Now, we got a few little children, and you'll hear them telling about the Holy Ghost that lives in. That's why you see Christ in me. I'm the only one that knows this truth.
And you have to come to the living Jesus Christ. You can't just claim scriptures and come to the scriptures and claim it. He's alive, and he has to grant you repentance. He has to wash you in his blood. He has to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You don't get it from claiming it from the Bible. You have to come to him. He's the only one that has the authority to do it.
So, number one, and I wrote this as a comment on his YouTube channel. I quoted him. He said, I'm the only one that has this. I'm the only voice proclaiming this. And I said, that ought to give you a warning sign right there. Steer clear of this guy. Stay away from him. God doesn't give private prophecies for mankind to one man only. Let me give you an illustration of that. Peter, being inspired by God, in his second chapter of 2 Peter, to give details on how to spot false teachers and false prophets. Jude gets a revelation from the Holy Ghost. Jude only writes one chapter, one little pamphlet. Jude, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes almost the exact same thing about false teachers and false prophets. When you compare the two, it's uncanny. You just look at it and say, boy, if I didn't know better, I'd say somebody copied from the other. But that's, the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so it's clear to me that Peter received those words from the Holy Ghost, and as a second witness, the Holy Ghost gave those same words to Jude and said, Jude, now write these down. There are differences in how they put things and so on, but by and large, they're the same. The Synoptic Gospels. Now you have two, or at the most three, witnesses. And the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're called that because S-Y-N is like similar. Optic means eye. That means they look similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what they are, scholars, they teach you this in theology class. Scholars believe that Matthew, Mark, and Luke were copying from a previous document called Q for Quell. I don't know. But anyway, and I'm like, so where is this Q document? Well, it doesn't exist. Oh, so you made that up, right? You don't have any evidence for it. You just made it up. And that's not what I thought then, because I just believed my teachers. But I look at it now and I'm going, no, Matthew was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Mark was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Mark did not include the birth of Christ in his gospel. That kind of tells me he wasn't reading the same document that Matthew was. Luke is giving his version of Christ's life to a man named Theophilus. And you can say what you want. They weren't copying from the same source. The Holy Ghost was giving them a similar witness and testimony of the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have examples of that in the Bible. God is not going to give one man this. According to him, he has all the keys to salvation. And if you don't obey him, his first name is Harlan. If you don't obey Harlan, then you have no chance whatsoever of going to heaven, because you're not going to get it from your Bible. Let's keep listening.
And many of you have been touched by the Spirit, but what happens to you after you've been touched by the Spirit? Some Bible worshiper comes and gets you in some Bible doctrine, and then it gets you out of the Spirit. And so it's not that Christ doesn't reach down to you. It's just that you don't understand. That's why he needs to send a person with Christ in them, like when he sent the apostles or any of the disciples that he sent, because you will never understand the deception that Satan has pulled through the Bible unless he sends somebody to tell you not to look to the Bible, look to him directly in the Spirit. He wants to commune with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you and guide you directly. The Bible is out of the picture.
The Spirit speaketh expressly in these last days. Jesus said in John 6, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Those words spoken 2,000 years ago might as well have been spoken in a closet to himself if they were not written down. We learned Tuesday that the purpose of God was to get these men to write down. God commanded them to write these words down. God himself wrote with his own hand the first copy of the Ten Commandments, the second copy of the Ten Commandments, and the handwriting on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. God himself. We have 1, 2, and 3 witnesses of the fact that God wanted it written down. God has the ability to write in stone with his finger. Hallelujah. Anyway, again, a private interpretation or a private doctrine that is exclusive with Mr. Harlan here. And when I found out he died, I'm like, uh-oh. Let me keep playing.
There's prophesying, there's speaking the word like I speak to you. The Bible's an idol. You know I got that from God.
What? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And I can prove it. I can prove it just the way you're trying to prove that. You're using the very book that you deny should even be read. You want people to close their Bible and pretend that they're hearing from God. And I'm telling you, no, the Word of God is telling you that, number one, there are no new revelations. Jesus himself said, if anybody adds to the words of the of this book, I will add unto him the plagues that are written therein. And he said, if anybody taketh away the words of the prophecy of this book, I will take his name out of the book of life. And this guy, Harlan and Punkin, have taken away the entire Bible. Folks, what does that leave us with? Men and women, but mankind, will always invent a God that caters to them personally. They will carve out an image of God in their heart that does not match who God really is. When we are left to ourselves without a guide, that's exactly what I'll do, and it's what you'll do, and it's what he did. I should say, do you want to end up like him? Then get your Bible out.
And people will not answer. They want to just deny me, but this is your manifested Son of God right here.
Manifested Son of God. Yeah.
You will hear the word of God from a manifested Son of God. Yeah. And that's the way he manifests himself.
Jesus Christ.
The Holy Ghost lives in me. Mm-hmm. You'll go and listen to a Bible preacher, went through Bible college, and the only thing he has in him is a Bible. And so,
Yep. Guilty. I'm guilty. That's all I've got is a Bible. Amen.
So that's a devil.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Did you hear what he said?
College. And the only thing he has in him is a Bible. And so that's a devil.
Yeah.
The Bible is the word of the devil because they use it.
I would pray for the guy. I would pray for the guy. But it's too late to pray for him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible.
When it's written down, it'll kill you.
Look. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's what he doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to find out how wrong he really is. So he tells you, don't read the Bible. And so you say, well, that sounds good to me. Imagine people that follow this guy. He's got like 11,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. Some of his videos have like 40,000 views. You take a man or a woman that's, I don't know, they probably smoke marijuana, look at porn all day on the internet, claim that they're Christian. The Bible condemns their deeds. They don't want to hear that. So they find a guy like this that denies what the Bible says and tells you, put the Bible down, close the book. That's the devil in that book. And your flesh says, oh, that's exactly what I've been waiting to hear. There's no telling how many people have died under condemnation because they listened to him. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. God sent this man. God sent him. You don't believe me? I'll show it to you. God sent him. Deuteronomy, where is it? Deuteronomy, oh man, I just went blank. Dream, Deuteronomy, help me, Lord. A sign. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Let's see. There's not there, not there. Ah, here we go. Deuteronomy 13. I should have thought the number 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and that's what he is. He claims that he's gotten visions. He's claimed he's gotten dreams. And according to him, that's how God's going to speak to you. And that's the only way God's going to speak to you. God is not going to speak to you out of the Bible. How does he know that? Because he read a verse of scripture. Giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Eclipse. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, For the Lord God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, I don't want you to go and investigate this guy. I don't want you to go find his YouTube channel. I don't want you to go find his website. That's why I'm not telling you what it is. Now, some of you may. I get it. But there may be some people listening to me that may be weak in the faith, maybe at a particular time. And they go and listen to this clown, and he says some things that are right. And it creates confusion and doubt in your mind. That is the field that the devil loves to plow the most. Doubt, confusion, chaos, disorder. And you start questioning, like I've done before, is the Bible the Word of God or not? And I would hate for you to fall for doctrines of devils. I would hate that. So I think it's my responsibility to show you what's... I've never heard a Protestant... a non-Catholic. I've never heard a non-Catholic blaspheme so much and to such great depth as this guy. Never. But it says clearly here that God sends these people to prove you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And oh, wait till you hear what he's got coming up.
The letter killed. And when they looked on it, his face shined like an angel. My face used to shine like an angel when I first started preaching all in churches. These people.
It's a perfect example of the modus operandi of a false prophet. They will always exalt themselves somehow, some way. Joe Smith did it. Charles Taze Russell. Ellen White. Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Hagin. Creflo Dollar. T.D. Jakes. All of these guys will in some way, they will exalt themselves and let you believe that they are God's chosen instrument or tool or man for this day, and that God will give them extra biblical revelations that he hasn't given to anybody else. Copeland does it all the time. Joseph Smith came up with a whole new religion based on that one theme, that he was God's chosen man. They always exalt themselves. He's claiming here that when he first got this revelation some 40-some-odd years ago, that his face glowed like an angel when he preached. I don't believe that. Not for a second I don't believe it.
People tell me you don't belong in this church. You got the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, one word, one syllable. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost was in me. The reason he don't let me shine today, they try to hook me up to wires and things. When he gives you a whole big portion of the Holy Ghost, he gives us a small portion of the Holy Ghost. But you know it, and all the people for 47 years I've spoke to and told them the Bible's a noddle, it's the mark of the beast, they know that come from God. Mm-hmm. They just don't want God in them. No. Because God in them takes away their life. You have to live a crucified life, and they don't want it.
That's right.
Baloney. You're making
now, under the old covenant, there's all under one.
Listen to this. Christ gave us two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. And they're in the Old Testament. He's fixing to tell you that you're not supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to hate him. The only people that you're supposed to love are people like him. And we'll back it up, and we'll let you hear him say it.
Now, under the old covenant, there's all under one law.
Yeah.
And you could love your neighbor as yourself. Today, when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're loving that devil.
That's right. We're under the new
you
covenant.
You only love Holy Ghost people.
You live. It's God in us.
You only love Holy Ghost people. You don't love your neighbor. That's the devil, he said.
Holy Ghost is me. The Bible's an idol. The Bible's a mark of the beast. And you better write that down in your book.
What? How come we have to write it down, but God can't?
And I'm telling you, the Bible's an idol, the Bible's the mark of the beast, and when you speak a word, that's life. But when you write it down and put it in a book, that's a letter, and that's dead. And if you meet a man preaching the gospel, and all he knows is the Bible, he's of the devil. He hadn't got anything from the Holy Ghost. What I get from the Holy Ghost, I tell you, King James was Queen James. And you got to get all this. You got to know these truths, because you cannot believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's God in you. There ain't no difference in God and the Holy Ghost. That's a Catholic doctrine. They had to make up a separate one for the Holy Ghost. You can't be baptized the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because they're both one.
Wait. I hit the wrong button. Did you hear what he just said? You can't be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But Jesus told us to do exactly that. In this point, he sounds like a oneness Pentecostal, United Pentecostal churches, the denomination United Pentecostal. They are 100% cult. They deny the Word of God. They believe that 1 John 5:7 was added by the Catholic Church. If anything, they're the ones responsible for getting it out. But they don't believe in a Godhead. And they say it's anathema, it's a curse to believe in a Godhead. And that's what he sounds like. Now, he may have United Pentecostal roots, I don't know. But he's saying that if you baptize only in Jesus'
doctrine,
name.
They had to make up a separate one for the Holy Ghost. You can't be baptized the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because they're both one, the Father and the Holy Ghost. Now the Son's what you're baptized into, because you're baptized into his death. God didn't die, and the Holy Ghost didn't die. So the Holy Ghost is in me.
All right. That's just one video. I'm done with this guy. Again, I'm just going to ask you, don't waste your time, and don't get tripped up over this guy's blatant twisting of the Word of God. Now, I want to pick up where we left off on Tuesday. Let me back up a little bit, because this goes exactly with what this guy is saying. He said that you cannot write the Word of God down. When you do, that's the devil, and God hates it, and that's the mark of the beast. And yet, Deuteronomy 31, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Why'd he do that? God told him to. Hold on a second. What is God holding in his right hand right now? A book. And what is that book? It's the instructions for Jesus. It's the book that Jesus said in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Man, I'm fired up. Maybe I should have stayed home today. Listen, people. The Bible saved my life. It saved my church, my marriage, my family, my ministry. It saved everything that I hold dear in this world. And when you mock that, when you spew out ignorance like that, it fires me up. It does. If we're to have all things common and no division, how can we do that if, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, if everyone has a tongue or everyone has a prophecy? Or everyone has a psalm. Everybody's got some new revelation from God. Everybody's got some new thing, new prophecy. I got a prophecy just now, and it said that Brother So-and-so's prophecy didn't come from God. It said it came from the devil. I mean, I'm just, this guy is meant to sow confusion, division. He's sowing discord in the body of Christ. And I just pity people who listen to him. But God's got a book in his right hand, for crying out loud. And Jesus said, I'm going to do everything that I do according to what is written in the book. 1 Samuel 10:25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. You don't see God killing Samuel over it. You don't see God condemning him for writing it down, putting it in a book, setting it before the Lord. You don't see that. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, Job said. Isaiah 30. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That's how God chose to preserve his word. Have it written down. Words that are spoken fade away quickly. Words that are written last. They've lasted some 4,000 years now. Jeremiah 30, verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken to thee in a book. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. What does a scribe do? He scribbles. He inscribes things. He puts inscriptions. He makes scriptures. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. What did Luke set about to do? To write it down so that Theophilus would know for sure. As I said a while ago, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that guy, Harlan, said that if you write it down, it's death. The letter killeth. See, he quotes the parts of the Bible that he can twist and make it sound like he's right. Typical false prophet. And people learning to spot false prophets is getting easier by the day, because the false teachers and the false prophets just keep going further and further and further into their blasphemy, into their heresy, into their apostasy. And it's getting pretty easy. All you got to do is know the Bible. And when you hear somebody talking, say, ah, that guy's a quack. He don't know what he's talking about. He hadn't read the Bible. Revelation 1:11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches. Hebrews 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, scripture. You know what that word means? It's inscribed, written down. You don't go to the pharmacy and say, my doctor gave me a prescription for methamphetamine and for oxycodone, oxycontin, and fentanyl. And marijuana. Oh, okay. Well, if your doctor said so, that's what I'm going to do for you. That they don't do it that way. You got to have it written down. Okay? Everybody knows that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I think it's reasonable to say that none of the 40 writers of the Bible would agree with practically anything that guy said. I think it's pretty pretty cut and dried that Jeremiah would weep over what this man's saying. John the Baptist would cut his heart out and eat it. Look here. God didn't tell Paul to tell the Colossian church to send somebody and speak to them what Paul said. He said, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also. Read. That means it's written down and you read it out loud. Cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that they likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. All scripture means that all of the word of God is written down. At some point, you're just going to have to accept that. I did. When I first started in this, 1997, I was listening to some guys on the Prophecy Club, and they were talking about their dreams and visions, and I thought, boy, that would be so cool to have a vision from God or a dream from God. Boy, that would be awesome, man. I want that. I'd ask God for it. About two or three times I did. And every time I could, you don't hear God with your audible, with your ears. You have a thought in your mind that you believe is from God. So when I say God said to me, that's what I mean. And God said to me, Mike, look down at that Bible. How many dreams and visions do you want? Because there's a bunch of them in the Bible. And if you'll study these, I'll show you some things. Finally, I said, God, thank you. I'll do that. And I settled it in my mind right then and there that if God was going to talk to me, he was going to do it through the scriptures. That's how he was going to do it. Or if I believed that God was speaking to me about something, an issue or whatever, that I would find it in the scriptures, or I would already know it from the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You cannot call God the devil. You cannot call his word an idol. You just call Jesus an idol. Jesus and the written word of God are inseparable. The attributes of one are the attributes of the other. That Jesus is everlasting, his word is everlasting. Jesus has power to save, the word of God has power to save. Jesus gives us faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. The word of God is where we get our faith increased. And you just go over and over with the attributes of Christ and his written word, and they are identical. According to the Bible, not according to me, according to the Bible. And they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, some people like to split hairs on this profitable for doctrine. They like to say, well, it says it's profitable for doctrine, but it doesn't say it is doctrine. Oh, yes, it does. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So right there, you can say, well, Mike, not everything that God does is in the Bible. Well, the Bible says it is. It says that the man of God is to be perfect through the scriptures, and that he's furnished unto all good works through the scriptures. In other words, if God's going to do it, if God wanted us slain in the spirit, he would have it as a doctrine in the scriptures. At least two places, if not three. And then have a typology of it somewhere in the Bible. But it's not there. It's made up, or it came from devils. I think it came from devils. Acts chapter 8. Look at this. The Ethiopian eunuch is worshiping the devil. Right? Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, Esaias. He had a book. Now, according to old Harlan and Punkin, he's doing wrong. Because the letter killeth. That's the devil. And Philip said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. It's Isaiah 53 he's quoting from. He's reading Isaiah 53. The Holy Ghost had this eunuch reading the very chapter that God was going to use along with Philip to bring this man to salvation. And he doesn't wait either. He doesn't say, you know, let me get my business done in Jerusalem. They got a feast day there. I got to go. And, you know, my guys are tired. And let me just think about it for a few days. No, he said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Bada boom. Now, Revelation 22. This is it right here. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. There is a reason why Jesus waited all the way until John was in his 90s. There's a reason why all of the other apostles more than likely have all either just died or been killed. There's a reason why that the last writing of any of the books of the New Testament were written some 20 to 30 years prior to this event right here in Revelation, where Jesus showed up to him in Revelation 1 and gave him this revelation. There's a reason why. Because at the end of Revelation, Jesus adds a clause. This is a contract, remember. And by the way, Timothy can't be under the law and under grace at the same time. You can't do it. You're either under the law or you're under grace. You cannot serve two masters. That's another scripture. That's why that guy don't want you reading the Bible, because he's so wrong and blasphemous. If you read the Bible and believe it, you'll find him out. But God put this at the end of all the things that were written in the Bible. This is the last one. And he did so because he says here, if you add anything after this, I'm going to add these plagues to you. And he said, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. John's not afraid. I'm not afraid as far as I've not added to or taken away from the words in my Bible. When I was a boy, first started going to Sunday school here at Bethel Church, my mom bought me a little children's Bible. It was a King James. That's the Bible that I used in Sunday school. That's the Bible that was preached out of during church service. That's the Bible that was preached the day I got saved in June of 1975 on a Monday or Tuesday night. I don't remember. But that was the contract, the covenant that I was under. Now they want to come and convince me to have the covenant changed, taking words out of it. And God finally brought me to the conclusion, why are they wanting to take so many words out of my Bible? This is what a a Bible page looks like when it's believed. When it's believed, it's preached from, read, studied, copied, prayed over, wept on. What the early preachers used to do, and we have a lot of these, what they call lectionaries. Think of the day that you're in, and you have the book of Ephesians in a scroll in front of you, and you don't want to carry the whole scroll up to the pulpit and roll it and try to hold it down while you're reading it, and everything, it's cumbersome. So what they did was they wrote lectionaries. Just like the PowerPoint that I use, or I used to print out my notes for my sermons on paper, and I would put the scriptures written down there on my paper or my PowerPoint, and we have a lot of those lectionaries. And what they would do is they would copy verses out of the Word of God onto those lectionaries. And the lectionaries really give a lot of credence, and they bolster the reading of the King James, in my opinion. Okay? That's what they do. Preachers were preaching out of these lectionaries, and they would have verses of Scripture in there. And those Scriptures almost always matched the generally accepted reading of the New Testament. It wasn't until Westcott and Hort came along and threw a wrench in the works and just really confused the issue of what is the Word of God. So this material is called papyrus because it comes from this papyrus reed that's grown in these marshes. It's like a big grass stalk, and if you've ever taken grass and split it long ways, you see that it's in layers. Well, they would take the grass layers, they would weave them together, and maybe apply some sort of glue. I don't know what they used. But anyway, then they would flatten them out and let them dry in the sun, and then they had paper. That's where the word paper comes from, papyrus. But it's essentially grass. And God knew this when he said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Just like the grass will fade away, Mike Hoggard will fade away one of these days. I am like grass. When I die, when grass dies, little by little, pieces of it start chipping off. They get ground into the dirt and turn back to the dust from which it grew up from. We, likewise, are the same. Animals are the same. They turn into dust if they're not completely consumed by wild animals. And so he's saying all flesh is grass. The fact that this guy is dead, this Harlan creature, gives me some hope that the remembrance of him will die with him. As long as this other guy keeps putting his videos out, it's dangerous. But eventually, people like this that come along, bolster themselves, spread their false doctrine everywhere, they die, and eventually, hopefully, their doctrine dies with them. Devil always likes to resurrect it in some other form anyway. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Now watch this. The grass withereth. Look at that. The grass, and by the way, if they didn't write it on papyrus, they wrote it on vellum. Vellum was likely like goat skin. They would take the thin skin of a goat or something like that, and they would, process it into leather, but they would make a writing tablet out of this leather. And it's called vellum. So when he says here, you have grass, papyrus, you have all flesh, which is vellum, and here he's putting them together. He's saying what happens to grass is what happens to flesh. So it doesn't matter if that's made out of reeds, papyrus reeds, or it's made out of goat skin. It's going to happen. The same thing is going to happen to both of them. They're going to get old and they're going to vanish away. But when God said that the grass withereth, he meant this as one of the interpretations. No doubt in my mind about it. And he's saying here, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God promised us that even though the Bible and its contents turn into this, God promised that he would preserve his word because his word stands forever. You can't eliminate the true word of God. If I had my iPad here, I'd hit amen. Woo! 1 Peter 1, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Look at there. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And this joker had the nerve to say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, have nothing to save you with. And I think I didn't have this on the screen, but at one point in this video, I think what he was saying was that it takes the blood to save people. And he said that there is no blood in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I thought about it for a minute and I went, nope, he's lying again. What did the Bible say? In fact, let's look it up. Blood and water. There it is. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So there's blood in the Gospels, people. He said there wasn't. And he said, that's proof. Now, and how do we know he's telling the truth? Because Jesus himself gave it to him. That's how we know. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. 39 words here. From here to here. That's the law, by the way. There are 39 books in the law, the Old Testament. Now that, it's a fact. You can count the words, and then if you have to, count the number of books in the Old Testament without using a Catholic Bible. But God's given us a foreshadow of the law right here. And the law, it does kill. And sure enough, here comes the devil. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He's not going to come full on and grab one of those fruits and bring it over to Eve and say, Eve, eat this. And it dawned on me one day, I don't know why, but the devil never said anything about you need to eat this, or you better eat it, or you should eat it, or anything. He's subtle. He may even act like you don't need to eat that. But really, he's planted the seeds of doubt in her mind by saying, yea, hath God said. Now she's not sure. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Why didn't he say the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why didn't he? Because there's two trees. There's two trees in the midst of the garden. One is the tree of life. And the serpent said unto woman, ye shall not surely die. Now that is a direct contradiction of what God said. Just like Mr. Harland here saying that Timothy was under two covenants and you're not supposed to love your neighbor. You're only supposed to love people that are full of the Holy Ghost. And you're not supposed to read your Bible, even though he did, in order to tell you not to read it. And that the Bible is an idol, and the Bible is the mark of the beast. And if you own a Bible and you read it, then you've got the mark of the beast on you. Direct contradiction of exactly what God said. Ye shall not surely die. Then he said, for God doth know. Now he's introducing a secret doctrine, a mystery doctrine. He's claiming to have, listen to this now, the devil is claiming to have a revelation from God that no one else has, and God won't tell it to everybody. That's Mr. Harland. His whole role in life is to be a man with a mouth and a YouTube channel to instill doubt in the minds of those who look to the Bible for faith, for comfort, for help, for forgiveness, for instruction in righteousness. We look to the Bible for those things because that's the only place that they can be found. And again, I absolutely believe God sends these guys out to test those who say, I love Jesus or I follow Jesus. Do you really? Because if you follow that guy, you don't love Jesus. You don't. If you don't love his word, you don't love him. It's that simple. My goodness, when he comes back in Revelation 19, he has a name written on his thigh, the Word of God. How plain can it get? He is the Bible, the Bible is him. In the beginning was the Word. And it seemed like there was one video on his YouTube channel. I didn't look at it, just saw the screen capture of it. And it looked like he had done John 1 like he had replaced the words. I think he had it saying, in the beginning was the Holy Ghost or the Spirit, and the Spirit, in the beginning was the Word, and the Spirit was with God, and the Spirit was God. He changed the word of the Bible. He changed it. So there's these false prophets, false teachers are everywhere. The internet has given them a huge following. And it disturbs me. Not that I'm jealous at how many more people watch them than me. That's not up to me. Never was up to me. It's up to God who watches me and who doesn't. And I'm fine with that. But it bothers me that guy still spewing out his stuff after he's dead and people are falling for it. I just shake my head and say, oh my. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Again, the only reference to the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the last thing he said there, knowing good and evil. Other than that, he doesn't even identify the tree that he's referring to. He leaves it as vague and confusing as he needs to. And Eve fills in the gaps easily. And then what does she do? She went and ate it. You take away the word of God from somebody, they will fall into disobedience. It's not maybe. We will. We will. But I fear, and this is my legitimate feeling, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just how the devil did it is how he'll do it again in these days. He will cast doubt upon the Word of God. He will contradict the Word of God. He'll replace it with a new secret doctrine that he says God knows, but he's not going to tell anybody. Mr. Harlan sounds just like the devil. I'm the only one who has this message. I'm the only one who does it. And when I preach it, my face shines like an angel. Boy, I am God's son, man. I am. Now look at this. This is who that Harland is. King Jehoiakim. Forever goes down in history as the man who cut up the Word of God. Now, the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. King Jehoiakim, if I were you, I would get used to the fire. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, the four base pairs of DNA. And the base pairs are what makes the letters and the words of the genetic code. People, you can't get any closer to the Bible than DNA. DNA and the Bible are like the same thing. It's like God has a way and an order that he does things. And it would just shock me out of existence if God did something that didn't make any sense at all and was completely out of his character. I would just pass out and just die. Everything that God does is in order, and it's perfect. And that order is, you can see it everywhere when you look. So think about this now. Your DNA is a book written by God. The Bible is a book written by God. This King Jehoiakim took a knife, a pen knife. We know what that is, like a little pocket knife. He took it. He had Jehudi reading it to him, three or four leaves, pages. Okay, when I see three or four, I'm like, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the three. John is the four, because John's different. He cut it with a pen knife, cast it in the fire that was on the hearth. Yeah. Got rid of God's word there. And the whole roll was consumed with the fire that was on the hearth. And as I think about this, it makes more sense every day I hear something about what's going on with DNA. The CRISPR gene editing system that they have discovered is not only an easy way to permanently edit DNA, it is the cheapest way, and it's like so easy. They sell kits to high school guys and or gals or college people to where you can edit the DNA of some little microbe in a dish or something like that. It's so simple, you can do it next to your poster of Iron Man, okay? And so people are doing it. Now big corporations are doing it, and they're licensing and patenting their changes because it's all about money. The whole Bible translation thing is about money at its core. They can't make any money printing up King James Bibles. So they just, Holman Publishing Company is the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Convention. They got tired of paying Zondervan royalties for printing NIV verses in their literature. So they said, we got universities and Bible colleges all over the world. Why don't we get our guys to give us a new translation of the Bible? And so they did. And they copyrighted it. So that tells you that the Holman Christian Standard Version, the CSV, is significantly different both from the King James and the New American Standard, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and every other version of the Bible. It is significantly different. It has to be in order for them to be able to copyright it. Now that they copyright it, Holman doesn't have to pay anybody any royalties because they own it. It's all about the money. But getting back to DNA, the microbe or the virus or whatever it is, no, it's some kind of germ that has copies of viruses implanted into its DNA. So that if a virus invades this microbe, the microbe's DNA can check all of its DNA and see if they have a copy of this virus's DNA. And if they do, then this microbe basically forms a biological version of a pen knife. I'm not kidding you. And it literally, and I mean in a literal fashion, it cuts off the virus DNA from its DNA, because the virus will attach itself to a cell's DNA. It will literally cut off both ends of the virus DNA, remove it, and then stitch the two ends back together again. Ugh! That is exactly what Jehoiakim did. He didn't like what was written, so he took his knife, he cut it up, threw it into the fire. And that's what CRISPR does. It cuts off bad DNA that you have and discards it. Wouldn't surprise me if it throws it in the mitochondria altar. The mitochondria in your cell is what burns the sugar. This is why I'm sweating right now. This is why our bodies are 98 degrees. Because there's fire going on in us all the time. We're burning sugars, burning carbohydrates. So exactly what happened. So what did God do? What was God's answer to what Jehoiakim did? Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like were. Jehoiakim, you poor guy. It was bad enough what was written the first time. Now, you know what you're looking at here? You're looking at a typological picture of the addition of the New Testament to the Old. Look at it. Not only did Jehoiakim not get rid of the Word of God. See, I told you, you cannot eliminate the Word of God. You can't do it. Devil's been trying it for years. And think about Jeremiah. Now, if what Jeremiah had written on that scroll that Jehoiakim read, if they were the words of Jeremiah, he wouldn't be able to give those exact words again to Baruch, his scribe. I don't care how well he knew it, it wouldn't be exactly the same. He would end up giving him something different than what he wrote the first time. This tells me that what Peter said was exactly right. Holy men of God spake as ever moved by the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost gave the word, see, I sound like this guy now, Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit gave Jeremiah the words of the first scroll, and the king cut them up, threw them in the fire, then all Jeremiah had to do was wait for the Holy Ghost to give him the words again, and he gave him the exact same words, all the words of the book that he burned in the fire, and then he added many like words, because the New Testament is not significantly different or completely off the rails from the Old Testament. They both go together like the two legs of the ladder of DNA. You see, the Old Testament doesn't speak out against the New Testament, and the New Testament doesn't speak against the Old Testament. For proof of that, we take what Paul said, that the law was glorious. The law was so glorious that when Moses came down the second time, his face shining so bright, they put a veil on him. And he said, if the law, which is death, was that glorious, how much more glorious the law that gives life? See, they don't hate each other. They are mated together. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. Seek ye out the what? The Harland and Punkin? No. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. And the two legs of the ladder of DNA joining together perfectly, adenine to thymine, guanine to cytosine, just like a puzzle piece, just like Morse code, is how everything that I am is encoded in me. Everything that you are, written down in your DNA. Don't let anybody take a penknife to cut off your DNA. I don't care if you're better off dying than you are to do or let be done to you what Jehoiakim did. For we are not as many, 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And I did that back in the day. It shows you that God does have mercy. Some of you people out there, I love you, but you're very hasty to condemn people. Now, somebody like Harlan, it's easy. Okay? It's easy. He makes it to where there is absolutely no doubt about it. This guy is reprobate. He died. I think his wife said, I did watch a video where his wife was talking about how he died, like July 4th of 2021. And she said he woke up in the middle of the night, and he woke her up and said, Punkin. And she said, what's the matter? He said, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. And then he died. Probably had a heart attack or something like that. I don't know. But when he died, he faced God. And how was he judged? He was judged the same way I'm going to be judged, by the words written in the book. So you can throw away the Bible if you want. You can cut up its words. You can deny You can say that, well, I think most of the Bible's right, but there are some places I just feel like they didn't translate it correctly, or that they didn't copy the manuscript right, or what. You've heard this from some preacher or some guy or some gal on Facebook or on YouTube. You've heard this, but you didn't read this in your Bible. You did not read in your Bible where the Bible said that it would fall into corruption, or that parts of it would vanish away, or whatever. You read the exact opposite of that. What you read is that even though it's written on grass, and even though it's written on flesh, when the grass withers and the flesh fades away, the Word of God will still stand. God's Word is not going away. So it is best then, since we know that God's Word is inspired, we know that God's Word is, and this is for another day, we know that God's Word is preserved. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's preserved, and based upon what I see out of the Old Testament, how God promised he would take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the nations, based upon the day of Pentecost, where every one of those men were speaking in human languages, something other than Hebrew. 1 Corinthians 14. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be two, or at the most three, and let one interpret. Well, right there, you have the key. The key is the Bible was written in three different languages: Hebrew, some Aramaic, and then Greek. Two, or at the most three, unknown tongues to you. And since you can't interpret those words and you don't know what the letters are, you let one interpret. You don't get four or five different translations out, lay them out in front of you, and watch them contradict each other. Or see verses in the King James that are not in these other Bibles. You only let one interpret, translate. Only one. Because that's God's order. That's the way he does things. Instead of you wanting to come on like Andy Stanley, who's now gay-affirming, and change everything about Christianity, change the Bible, change the doctrines of the Bible, change all of that stuff. Instead of you being an agent for change, let the Word of God make you in God's image. It's the only thing that will. And yes, when you read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will be right there, both in you and in the Word, so that you, God himself, will give you understanding of what you're reading. Oh, people, man, this has got me fired up. I'd like to keep doing this. I already had a preacher call me and say that they are glad that I was covering this again, because they needed, you know, it's always good to have this doctrine reaffirmed in you. And that, I was kind of taken aback by who said it. I won't tell you who said it, but I was kind of taken aback by that. And I was humbly thankful. But we all need the Word of God. We all need the Scriptures written down so that there's no debate between us. The Bible says what the Bible says, and we don't bend nor twist the Bible to say what we want. We let the Bible say what it says and let it change us. If you have not seen the Watchman broadcast that's out, Oh, listen, there's some scary stuff out there. And some things started making a little bit more sense when it comes to the spiritual realm and their interaction with this world. It's real. It's going on. And people need to be warned. People need to be educated. In fact, the only tool that you really have against spirits that haunt, spirits that try to make you afraid, spirits that try to seduce you, the only tool that you have against them is the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Gotta go. I love you. We'll see you this Sunday morning. Come worship with us.